Open your Bible, please, to the book of Habakkuk. That's where we're going to begin our study this morning, in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1. Thankful for the presence of each and every one who's here this morning on this Lord's Day. And Mark, appreciate the songs you've chosen and the manner in which they've been led, and all of us engaging in the worship that's been offered unto God thus far. And I hope and pray that our study of His Word together in this hour will prove to be profitable as well. I want to talk about prayer this morning. Prayer is one of those subjects you could go any number of directions with it, and all of them would be profitable. But more specifically, what I want to talk about this morning, I want to talk about the kinds of answers that God will give to our prayers. Because there's two sides of prayer. There's our side, the side that we see, and there's God's side, the side that takes place beyond this realm of sight, the side that we have to see through faith. And the answers that we get from God come from that side. So I want us to consider what the Bible has to say regarding the answers that God will give to our prayers. I'm afraid that there are some people who look upon prayer as nothing more than just a cosmic wish list in which God is playing the role of some kind of Santa Claus. And all we have to do is ask, and He's just tickled to death, and He'll give us everything that we ask for. Now, while that may be a gross oversimplification of some teaching on prayer, that's not what the Bible has to say about prayer in its totality. God does not answer prayer in that way. And we shouldn't fool ourselves into thinking that, you know, if we have been good enough, and if we ask with enough pretty pleases on it, then God's going to give us just whatever we ask for. The Bible teaches no such thing. And if we go into prayer with that kind of an attitude, that kind of a false idea about prayer, we're going to be very disappointed when we don't get the answers that we're looking for in prayer. And it's going to cause us to begin to wonder just, where is this God who loves me? Where is this God who cares about me, and this God who has promised to answer prayer? The prophet Habakkuk asked that long ago. He was living during the time that his nation was coming to an end. It was bad, and it was only getting worse. And this prophet looked at all of the sin and all of the unrighteousness that was going on around about him. And in Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 1, or verse 2 rather, he prays, O Lord, how long shall I cry and you not hear? Even cry out to you violence, and you will not save. God, why aren't you hearing my prayer? Why aren't you answering my prayer? Where have you gone? That was the voice that came from the despondent prophet. That's how the book of Habakkuk begins, where we're at right now. God, where are you? How many people have we met in our own lives who are there with God? You know, I prayed to God about this, and He didn't hear my prayer, because I've still got my problem. I prayed to God about my financial situation, about my family situation, about the country that we're living in, and He's not answered my prayer. Well, my first response to that is, are you sure God did not hear your prayer? Or has He just given an answer different than the one that you were wanting and the one that you were expecting? The Bible teaches that God responds to our prayers. But that response is not always with a yes. Habakkuk, he was praying unto God, and he was wondering why God wasn't listening and why God wasn't going to do anything. The prophet couldn't see that God was doing anything. So he concluded that God wasn't hearing his prayer and God wasn't doing anything to alleviate the situation. You get down to verse 5 in Habakkuk 1, and God sets him straight. God says, oh no, I know what's going on. And yes, I'm doing something about it. As a matter of fact, it's something that you couldn't even begin to imagine yourself. He says in verse 5, look among the nations and watch and be utterly astounded. Or I will work a work in your days which you would not believe though it were told you. In fact, what God was doing was He was rising up the Babylonians to come in and to destroy Judah and to carry them off into captivity. Now that was, as we would put it, that was completely off the radar. Habakkuk never dreamed that anything like that could ever happen. As a matter of fact, the rest of the book is Habakkuk's complaint about God's proposed plan, and then God's response to Habakkuk again, that the just shall live by faith. And this is all going to work out just the way it's supposed to. And we come back to Habakkuk. Here's the despondent prophet who doesn't think that God is doing anything. And how many of us have been like that in our own lives? I prayed to God about this, and it's still a problem. I prayed to God about this, and it hasn't been fixed. So God isn't hearing my prayer. Well, let's clear that up. Before we leave here accusing God of not hearing our prayers, let's see just what kind of answers God will give to our prayers. Let's start out with our favorite. Yes! There are times that we pray unto God and we make requests of God and God answers yes. And you know, Jesus teaches that's the kind of God that our God is. That it pleases God to answer our prayers with a yes. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. For what man is there among you? He, if the son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Give good things to those who ask him. God is ready to respond to our prayers in a positive nature. God is ready to say yes. But that doesn't mean that such an answer comes unconditionally. But the scriptures teach that in order for God to say yes, for one thing, our prayer has to be offered in faith. We have to pray in faith. In James chapter 1 and verse 5, James chapter 1 and verse 5, James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. To him again, here the scriptures are teaching, God will answer yes. We pray for wisdom, God will say yes, but notice a condition. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. One day he's up and everything's good. He's up, he's excited, he's happy, he's serving God. But when the bottom drops out, well, he's down in the bottom. And where is this God? And I prayed for this and I prayed for that. And where is he at? Oh, if he's not a man of faith, if he's a man of doubt, he's like this wave that's tossed about up and down. But let not that man suppose he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. No, a condition of prayer is that we pray in faith. That we pray believing that God is on the other side. He is there dwelling in the unseen. That he cares about us. That he hears our prayer. And that he's ready to answer with a yes. Jesus taught the 12, when you pray, pray believing that you have it even before you ask. You've got to pray in faith. Also, our prayer must be made according to God's will. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Well, I prayed for something and God never gave it to me. I prayed for this or I prayed for that and it never came about. Well, it could be that simply you weren't praying according to God's will. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, notice there it's qualified. It's not a blank check. If we ask anything, God's going to stamp it. Yes, here you go. No, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. I've read my Bible from cover to cover, and I've never read any passage in which God obligates Himself to violate His will in order to answer my prayer. God never obligates Himself to violate His will for us. Our prayer must always be according to His will. How are we going to know what His will is? Well, we better get into His book. we better get in this book and we better read and study it, and then we'll know what His will is. So God will answer yes when we pray according to His will and when we are doing His will. When we are in fellowship with Him, when we are living right. 1 John chapter 3 and at verse 22, and whatever we ask we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. We must be in fellowship with God in order to receive the answers to our prayers. And we remain in fellowship with God by doing His will, by doing those things that are good and that are right. So God will answer our prayers. God will say yes, but it's not unconditionally. And it's not a matter of luck. It's a matter of us doing what God has told us to do. God says yes to our prayers when we're living in fellowship with Him, asking according to His will, and living and asking by faith. There's another answer that God will give to our prayers. There are times that God will say yes, but not yet. Have you ever gotten that answer before? I have. I'm sure that you have as well. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says that everything has its time. That there's a time under heaven for all things. And that applies to the answers to our prayers. God in His divine wisdom may see fit to delay the answering of our prayers for different reasons. Number one, He might see that by having us wait, it will cause us to develop and to strengthen our faith. If God says, yes, you can have that, but not now. That process of waiting may be a process that we need to go through in order to strengthen our faith, in order to draw closer to Him and continuing to pray for it, in order to work and go through a part of life without what it is we're asking for. God may withhold that for a time for our own good so that we can strengthen and develop our faith. It may be that we're not mature enough to handle what it is we've asked for. We ask for something, and it's something that is good, and it's something that God intends to give us when we can handle it. But we can't handle that right now. Didn't you do that when you were raising your children? Weren't there things that you intended to give your children in due time? But they weren't quite ready for it then. I mean, think about it. When your child was about 9 months old to a year old, the only use they could make of your car keys was to stick them in the mouth. Then they get a little bit older, let's say, about 15. They want those keys for another reason. And they'll get them in due time when they're ready for that responsibility. We've done that with our children as we raised our children. Your boss did that to you when you were on the job, when you started your job. You didn't have as many responsibilities as you have today. Your employer, your boss, your manager gave those to you as you developed and as you proved that you could handle those situations. God does the same thing with us. God, for our good, will withhold things from us until it's just right. And it may be that God says yes, but not yet, because God intends to bring about something else. Remember, God's will is always what must be considered first and foremost. And it may be yes, that that's the thing that needs to happen, and God intends to bring that about, but not yet. The timing isn't quite right just yet. It may be that you're a young Christian man or you're a young Christian woman, and you're looking for someone to date. You're looking for someone to come into your life that you can spend the rest of your life with. And you want that individual in your life now. It may be that God says, yes, I've got someone. I've created someone just for you. But the time is not right right now. That person is going to enter your life a little bit down the road. And when she does and when he does, it's going to be just perfect. Till then, you're going to have to wait. So there's an answer. Yes, but not now. And God answers our prayers in that way. What do we do when God tells us, yes, but you're going to have to wait? Well, there are some things that we need to remember. Number one, we need to remember God's promise from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. And I want you to turn, and I want you to read this verse with me. This is a powerful passage. It's one that we need to keep before us at all times. Here's a promise that was given by the inspired Apostle Paul to a church that had helped him tremendously in his work of preaching the gospel. He writes and says, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I want you to get your mind around this verse, and I want you to write it in your heart, because it's a great blessing and a great promise from God. My God not can supply, my God shall supply all, not part of, not a little bit, not after you've met your deductible. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches. Not according to your standard, not according to your riches, but according to his riches, he's going to pour it out, everything that you need. We need to remember this. God say yes, but not yet. That doesn't mean he said no. He knows the need is there, and he's going to meet it in his time. We need to remember this promise. We need also to remember that we must have patience. Things don't always work out just the way that we want them to. Things don't always happen on our timing. God says not yet. We're saying yes, we want it now. God says, no, you're going to have to wait, which means we're going to have to exercise some patience. Not that we get despondent, not that we decide we're going to give up on God, give up on religion, give up on the church. No, we're going to have to buckle down, we're going to have to learn how to wait. We're going to have to be patient. There's plenty of examples of that in the Scripture. James chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, "My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." We've got to learn to be patient with God and allow God to do things in his own time, because we know the end intended by the Lord. We might would like to have it right now, but we know good and well that if we'll allow God to do it in his way, in his time, the end intended by him is better than anything we could ever come up with ourselves. Remember when Abraham and Sarah got tired of waiting for God to fulfill that promise? And Sarah said, "Here's Hagar, my handmaiden. Go in and have a child with her." Oh, that was a great blessing to Abraham, wasn't it? No, that was not the end intended by the Lord. And Abraham paid for it, and his descendants paid for it, even to this day. No, when we try to hurry God along, we get ourselves in trouble. Let's be patient, and let's see the end intended by the Lord. And also, brethren, it's a time for us to keep asking and to continue praying. In Luke chapter 11, and at verse 1, the disciples ask the Lord to teach them how to pray. And he goes and gives the model prayer, as it's also found in Matthew chapter 6. And then he gives a parable starting in verse 5. He said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you.' So I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." Maybe what the Lord is doing when he says yes, but not yet, he intends for us to continue to pray. Prayer is an exercise in faith. Maybe we need to keep exercising that faith, and we need to keep praying. Let me ask you, when have you been closest to God as a Christian? When have you been closest to God? Has it been when everything is going great? Has it not been when there's problems that arise in your life and you find yourself continuing to go to God in prayer again and again? Maybe that's God's way of waking us up. Yes, but not yet. Let's talk about this some more. Let's pray about this some more. God has a reason for answering this way. Yes, but not yet, in His own time. Third, there are times that God will say, yes, but something different. And that's exactly what happened in the case of Habakkuk. Habakkuk was waiting for God to come and to do something to straighten up his nation. God was doing it all right. He was rising up the Chaldeans over here, the Babylonians. And they were going to come in and take him away into captivity. And Habakkuk said, wait a minute. That's not what I had in mind. That's not what I was expecting. But that's exactly what God was doing. That's exactly what he had in mind. That's exactly what needed to happen. And it was a good thing that he did. We need to be ready when we make a prayer unto God. We need to be ready for Him to give His answer. Instead of praying to God, and how many of us have been guilty of this? We pray unto God, we ask Him for something, and then we tell Him just exactly how He needs to do it. God, my loved one is sick, and this is just exactly what needs to happen. You need to make them better, and they need to get up and walk out of this hospital right now. God, my family and I, we are in a financial mess, and this is exactly what needs to happen. I'm not saying the lottery, but something needs to happen, and we need to get this money in our bank account right now. Right? Or whatever it may be, we go to God in prayer, and we ask Him for something, and all the while, we know just exactly how it needs to be done. And what we need to be careful, brethren, what we need to be careful that we don't do, we need to be careful that we are not guilty of trying to put God in a box and giving Him the parameters in which He can operate in the exact way in which He needs to answer our prayers. Because when we attempt to do that, you realize just how far we are trying to go in confining the Lord and limiting the Lord. There's another passage that is a great statement about God and God's ability. In the book of Ephesians, at chapter 3 and at verse 20, Ephesians chapter 3 and at verse 20 says, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. I love the way the scriptures read sometimes. Exceedingly abundantly above. Now, I've got my limits, and I bring them to God every day. God, here's how I think you ought to do it. I'm going to spell it out for you right here, and here's the way it ought to be. And what Paul says here in Ephesians 3 is that God is able to do so much above that and so much more than that. What are we doing by limiting God? To say, God, this is how you need to do it right here. I've already figured it out. You just need to get the wheels turning, and this is it right here. And God's looking down at us like little ants with our little bitty minds. And I don't know if He's laughing. I don't know what He's doing. But He's looking down and saying, I've got so much more planned than what's in that little bitty box right there. Why don't you step back and let me do it? Why don't we step back and let God answer our prayers the way He is going to answer them? Because we have to admit that we don't always know even what we should be praying for, do we? We don't always know what we should be saying. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We don't know always what to say. We don't always know what to put in that box. And what I'm saying this morning, get rid of that box and let God answer our prayers the way He sees fit. What do we do when we realize the answer is yes, but something different? Well, we need to remember that God's ways are different from our ways. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth," remember, exceedingly, abundantly above all we can think of. "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Let's quit trying to put God in a box. When we pray to Him, let's let Him answer in the way that He sees is best. Because from His perspective, from His point of view, He can see so much more than we can. And He knows just exactly how to bring about the answer that you need to your prayer concerning your problem in your life. Let's remember also that God's different answer may actually bring about our desired result. We pray for patience because we saw just a moment ago we need patience. Well, how are we going to get patience? Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4 tells us how we get patience. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance or patience, and perseverance character, and character hope. I prayed to God for patience. He gave me trials to endure so that I could develop that patience. It may be that the answer that God gives to your prayer is exactly what you need. As a matter of fact, I'll suggest it is exactly what you need. But you need to see how God is doing that and how God is working that in your life. And we need to remember that above all things, God's ways are always right. Genesis 18 and verse 25, Abraham said of God, "Will not the judge of all the earth do what is right?" And indeed He will. Whatever answer God gives to our prayers is the right answer. And again, we need to have the faith that allows us to see that. Finally, what happens when God gives us that answer we don't want? That answer we were not looking for. There may be times that God has to deny our request and that God tells us no. You know, no is an answer. God hasn't answered my prayers. Well, no is an answer. He did answer. Why would it have been a no? Well, the Scriptures teach us there are different reasons why our prayers are not answered in the positive or in the affirmative. It may be that we have asked what we've asked for, we've asked from selfish motives or for selfish reasons. In James chapter 4 and at verse 3, "You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures." God knows your heart better than anyone else does, better than you know yourself. And it may be that while you can make a good argument for why you want these things in your life or why you want these answers to your prayers, it may be that God sees through it all and He knows why you're asking, and it's not for the right reason. And so He's not going to say yes. It may be that God as our Father tells us no to protect us. The same way that we as mothers and fathers sometimes tell our children no in order to protect them. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, the Hebrew writer talks about discipline and how God, as our Heavenly Father, disciplines us as our earthly fathers do. But I believe the same principle would apply to granting requests with a yes or with a no. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, "Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Our parents sometimes told us no for our own good. I'm glad they did. I didn't always like it, didn't always appreciate it, but there are times that I was told no, and it was for my own good. A favorite cartoon that I had, comic that I had when I was growing up, was Calvin and Hobbes. There may be some of you that remember that comic strip, Calvin and Hobbes. And one of them that I remember, it stands out, was a four-panel cartoon. And the first three had a little Calvin following his mom around the house saying, please. I mean, in big letters, he had his hands folded like this, please. And then the last one was his mom. She's had enough. And she turns around, she says, Calvin, I'm not giving you a flamethrower. And there he was, begging, asking, saying, please. But his mama said, no, you're not getting a flamethrower, and I tell you, we're all better off without Calvin having a flamethrower. There are times that God tells us no. Because although we can't see it, God knows that we don't need that. And it's for our own good that we don't have it. And we don't appreciate hearing no any more than Calvin does, any more than our children do. But God has a reason for telling us no. Maybe it's to protect us for our own good. Maybe God says no because we have failed to seek his will and his purpose. Remember in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Well, maybe this isn't according to his will. Maybe you've gone out on your own and you've decided you need these things. You've listened to the world. You've listened to friends. You've listened to blogs on the internet instead of listening to the Word of God. And you've decided you need these things. And God says, no. That's not according to my will. Or it may be God says no because you've got to learn to appreciate what you already have. In 2 Corinthians at chapter 12, the Apostle Paul talks about his thorn in the flesh. Talks about that pain that was given unto him. He says it was a messenger of Satan that was given to him to buffet him, lest he be exalted above measure. In verse 8, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. All Paul knew is there was this thorn in the flesh that was causing him pain. We don't know what it was. We can only speculate. He says he wanted rid of it. He prayed three times. And you know what the Lord told him? The Lord told him no. No. As a matter of fact, the Lord made him understand, you need that. It's going to allow you to serve me better. And so Paul accepted it. He accepted what he had. He learned how to live with it because he knew that he needed it. It might be that God tells us no because we need to be humbled. We pray about our financial situation. We pray about a family problem going on. We pray about problems. We pray about a neighbor that we wish would just move. Whatever it may be that's causing us problem in our lives, it may be that God is saying, no, you need to learn to live with what you have. It's going to humble you. It's going to draw you unto me, and it's going to make you a better servant of mine. And God says, no. You know what we need to do? We need to learn to accept God's no. We need to learn to take no for an answer from our Heavenly Father. And we look at this passage we looked at before, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, that says that God will supply. Remember, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, how can the Bible say that and God still tell me no? How do I reconcile these two? Well, I would ask number one, are you sure it's a need? Or is it a want? There's a big difference between the two. I think my children are learning that the quickest way they can not get something is to tell me, but I need it. Oh, you need it, huh? No. And we'll see if you just need that thing or not. There's a big difference between a want and a need. Are you sure it's something you really need? Have you learned to be content with what you already have? The Apostle Paul was. He'd learned to get by in whatever station in life he found himself in. How about you and I? Are we just a bunch of complainers? Always wanting something bigger, always wanting something better. I'm convinced a lot of times a lot of us complain and are discontent with God is because we're so busy stumbling over blessings that we haven't even acknowledged and haven't even realized. Have we learned to be content with what we already have? Are we living in fellowship with God and praying according to His will? There may be a reason you were told no. And there might be something a little more important than you getting this or you getting that. And that's you getting back to God. And you getting back in fellowship with Him. And that might be your wake-up call to get you to come back home. And as always, brethren, I want to remind you that despite God's love and care for us, there is something that is greater than our own personal needs. And that is God's will. The most important thing that can be accomplished in our lives is the will of God. And nowhere is this any better shown to us in Scripture than when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And like the Apostle Paul, he prayed three times, "Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Even Jesus himself submitted his personal will to the will of the Father. And we've got to do the same thing. This distorted view of things happens when we place ourselves in the center of our universe instead of God. And then we come away wondering why he isn't listening and why he isn't answering our prayers. We need to let our request be made known to God, but then we need to be in the frame of mind to accept what is best in God's overall will and not necessarily what is best in my personal interest from my own point of view. And we need to accept it with the promise that nothing will be placed upon us that is greater than what we are able to handle. Let's learn to accept no when God says no. God gives answers to our prayers. Don't lose your faith in prayer, because prayer works. If we'll work it, prayer works. However, we must remember that God is the one who is at work in our prayers and that His will must be done. Understanding how God answers prayer is a part of understanding and appreciating prayer and participating in prayer. Realizing that the answers that come from God are those things that we need to be looking for, and they build our faith and they strengthen us as we serve Him. However God chooses to answer our prayers, we must have confidence that it is for our own good. And we must do as Luke chapter 18 and verse 1 says, we must always pray and not lose heart. If you're here and you're not a Christian, I want you to know that individuals here have been praying for you. Praying that you would obey the gospel one day. Now that's your own choice. And God is not going to violate your free will just to accommodate our prayers and our wish. Not even His own prayer, His own wish, His own desire for you. That's a decision that you're going to have to make. If you're here and you're not yet a Christian, not yet a child of God, will you think about what it means to be a child of God? Think about what it means to be reconciled unto Him, to be made a part of His family, to have Him as your Father who is waiting to hear your prayer and waiting to grant your petition. This world's hard enough without God. Why would you do that? If you're ready to obey the gospel, we'd be ready to help you. Maybe you're here as a child of God, but you're suffering in this world, in your lot of life, maybe you're suffering with a lack of faith, and you need to come back unto God. Maybe you need our prayers with you. Whatever your need is, we invite you to let it be known as we stand and sing this song.